Need better beauty sleep? North American Herbs and Spices Melatonin-Free Sleep Aid is completely 100% natural. Made from chamomile, magnolia bark extract, CO2 extracted hops, and a proprietary blend of extra virgin black seed oil. This innovative sleep formulation is designed to give a restful REM sleep without the melatonin effect, which consists of unpleasant dreams and heavy morning grogginess. Melatonin was never intended for long-term use, and dependencies are known to occur. Visit www.northamericanherbandspice.com and enter promo code AFFIRMATIONS25 to receive 25% off site-wide, including Herbal Z's. Power through Pilates, dare to reach your HIIT goals, and strive for that extra rep in Nux Active, high-performance activewear that doesn't compromise on the chic. Located in Los Angeles, their diverse, women-operated team oversees every meticulous detail, from the first stitch to the last shipment. Nux Active is active fashion that flexes and fits like a buttery second skin. Run, don't walk, over to nuxactive.com. That's nuxactive.com to check out the latest collection and energizing colorways. As a gift to you, take 20% off your purchase with code BAD20NUX at checkout. Hello, my beautiful babies. I'm your host, Tiana Thompson, and this is Affirmations of a Bad Bitch. Today, we have our first male guest. So by association, he is now a bad bitch. He is a former pastor and an author. Ken, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your story and your work?
First of all, it's an honor to be a bad bitch. I have never been called that ever.
There's a first for everything.
You are the first, and I dig it. I love it. So thank you. No, it's great to be with you. I have a kind of a compelling story. What happened to me in my life? Of course, I never thought I'd be telling this story, because when you're in the middle of hell, you don't ever think about talking about it. But as I came out of hell, I started to realize that, wow, man, this is kind of amazing what's happened with me, and maybe you can help others. So, you know, my son, I have three boys. The youngest is 33. And they all struggled with substances, and mm-hmm. You know, I was a pastor, and I had raised them where I just didn't ever expect that to happen. So things just went crazy, and it was a wild 10 years of my life and their lives. And then near the end of it, one of my sons killed a man tragically when he was high on heroin, and went to prison. Of course, at first it was, you know, I didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah. You can imagine
the hurt. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But then over time, we had some breakthroughs, some amazing moments, letters that I wrote to him, letters he wrote to me, started reading like crazy, you know, complex stuff like Monte Cristo and Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, just some really cool stuff that just took his mind to a whole new place. And so, yeah, over time, we just connected like, you would dream a father and son connect as he changed his life. And in me helping him, you know, kind of helped me become a man again, I guess recover might be a better word, just to get my own shit together and kind of come back to God, you know, cause I'd really lost God in all this confusion. And then so it was this gorgeous, elegant, thing that I felt like I had to write about.
Yeah, of course. So when you guys first started writing letters to each other, well, it wasn't right away, right? When he went to prison, how long did it take for you guys to start communicating?
About a month after he was at LA County Jail, which is a pretty notorious place, pretty challenging place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just known here as county.
Yeah.
about a month in, he, it was the first visit between me and him, just the two of us. And there was no one else in the waiting room or the visiting room. So you have a little stainless steel stool, you have a phone, and there's a big wall of glass, right? And he's on the other side of the glass. So you're talking.
Okay.
But But nobody else was there. Normally, there's two or three other inmates with their families, but it was just me and him. And he just, I could tell something was happening just by his eyes, the way he walked in. He was kind of red, a little bit red in his face. I thought, has he been crying? And so he, about 10 minutes into this call, he just completely melts down, completely loses it, and apologizes for killing Rod. He said the man's name for the first time. He apologized for making Valerie a widow, the man's wife. And he just completely, I saw sobriety and humility that I hadn't seen in 10 years. I mean, think about this. You have a loved one and you haven't seen really the true them for 10 years. It's kind of wild. When you see him again, you just kind of, it's like,
Just all of a
whoa.
sudden, yeah.
Just all of a sudden, he just, this new kid that I knew as a kid, but now as a man, he's 28 at the time, maybe 27, shows up. And so, yeah, as a dad, you're just like, oh my gosh. Now, weirdly, Tiona, I went home that night. You'd think I would be like relieved. I actually got more mad at him. Kind of like,
I can actually understand that because it's like you seeing that humanity from him makes it hard probably to be angry at him.
exactly. Well, actually, no, it made it easier to be angry only because he was honest. I finally saw the real Lucas, and it kind of made me, gave me license to be honest with myself. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? This has been going on for over 10 years, not just with him, but I just lost it. I journaled the next day and I wrote some things. I'm not going to tell you what they were.
Let it all
Because
out.
even you, Tiona, you couldn't handle the truth. No, I'm just teasing. But then I recovered. We started writing. That was about when we started getting real with letters and calls. Calls were really short. But anyway, so yeah, it started there and just slowly started to open up like a flower. And it was, there was still a hearing. There was still a sentencing. So, he was kind of hamstrung in his emotions until everything was cleared up. He got a 10-year sentence. You know what I mean? He kind of needed to get sentenced before he could relax enough to be himself and to start being real with me. And so, yeah, it took time, months, kind of in a way, kind of years.
Do you think if there would have been other people in that visiting area that day that he would have kind of opened up like he did?
No, I don't think that ever would have happened.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ever.
Kind of like some divine timing right there.
Oh my gosh. And that's how I look at it. It
Yeah.
was, it never, Tiona, it never would have happened. And yet when it happened, it like like a father who'd been through what I'd been through. Yes, I get pissed at him afterwards, more pissed. But in a way, that moment will live with me forever. I will never forget his eyes pooling with tears. I'll never, and just as, after all that time, I finally saw a real person, like a real man, getting real with himself. I don't know. It was like this, in some ways, it was the most perfect moment of all the moments, was when I finally had my son back.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, how long do you guys still write letters?
Well, California has this very aggressive inmate reduction program. So if you commit a nonviolent crime, and Lucas's crime was violent, he killed a man, but it was unintentional, right? So it's called manslaughter and not murder. So if it's deemed by the courts nonviolent, which his was, you're able to take your 10-year sentence, and you go to meetings, you go to classes, you get a degree, an associate's degree in college. You do like there's 20 things, you 30 things you can do. They're called milestone programs. You just keep doing them, and it takes a month, 6 months, a year off your sentence. And so he whittled it down to 3 years. So he's out now. Yeah, this was 2016. He got out in 2019. So yeah, we wrote letters for 3 years. Especially the last 18 months was hot and heavy. We just, we got it kind of in this rhythm. He started, enjoying writing almost like a creative outlet, and then I started It's kind of the same thing. So yeah, it was, and we saved them all. He saved all his. He has his in a box. I have mine in a box, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll share them.
So, how is your guys' relationship now?
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. He lives 5 minutes from me. He's
Oh, good.
yeah, he got married to a wonderful gal that I've known for 20 years. They have a son named Finn. So, he's a little toe-headed kid. So it's pretty cool. And all three of my boys and I are really close now. If you had told me that it would be like it is now, 10 years ago, I would have laughed at you. I'd have said, not a chance. It's completely gone to shit. The
Right.
whole family, I mean,
Like you said, you were in hell.
I'm hanging on with my wife. I'm like, don't leave me. Don't leave me, woman.
Aww.
Clawing.
And that, the situation that you were put in brought you guys closer. I'm sure it put a strain on you guys as well, but in
Oh.
the end, did that, bring you guys closer together?
We're together. We've been together 41 years as of last weekend. So it's pretty cool. And we have a great marriage. And but yeah, it was really tough on us. There were moments where I felt like she was enabling. She felt like I was an asshole, which I was, but I was exercising my assholeness, right? Too much.
Yeah.
I wanted to kick ass. She wanted to lend money, right? That kind of stuff. I mean, you can just imagine what it's
Both
like.
trying to, do what you can in different ways.
Exactly. And so do you turn on each other? Yeah, sometimes you feel like you do and you want to, and you just want to scream. You want, but we dealt with it differently. She hung with friends. She hung tight with friends. I kind of went solo. I just started doing a lot of hiking. Got a camper van, spent a lot of time in the mountains with my dog, Mumford.
Aww.
It was opposite ways of handling it, but when you're in a shit storm, I don't know, you just it's just survival mode.
Yes, yeah,
You're just
for
like, look,
sure.
I this ain't pretty, this ain't right. I'm
Just
no
trying to process.
example. What?
Yeah, I said just trying to process what's happening
Yeah,
a lot.
I don't claim to have done it right or have done perfectly, but we made it. Grey's Anatomy helped us.
I love
That was
Grey's Anatomy.
a
I
biggie.
love that.
Come on, the songs on Grey's Anatomy, do they not send
So
you? They're
good.
the best on the planet. We would get together at night, we'd watch some TV, Grey's and a bunch of other shows like that. That I don't know, we'd pause the DVR and just talk, and I would just say, did you hear what the paper said about Lucas? Or did the lawyer said this? And it wasn't sit down, looking at each other talking most of the time. Most of the time it was driving somewhere or watching Grey's Anatomy and pausing the DVR and just having a half hour talk about how crappy things were or how great things, whatever. Hey, Lucas wrote me, or he wrote me this super cool letter or whatever, right? You
Yeah.
just because Tiona, my, I felt like I had kind of lost God. I'd lost my church. I wasn't going to church anymore. I couldn't even open the Bible. So I felt like I'd lost my religion. I'd lost my sons. I just couldn't lose my wife. You know what
Yeah,
I'm saying? It
you
was
can't.
like, okay, I'm gonna be all alone in the world. I that I don't I I'm just not sure I can handle that right now. And it's like, okay, don't leave me, woman. And I'm not gonna leave you. And I'm trying not to be an asshole.
So you
Bite
were
my
just
tongue a little bit.
dealing with it how you could.
Yep. And we did.
100%.
We hung together. We have a great marriage. So yeah, we made it. That I'll say.
Yes, good. Now, do you go to church now? Did you ever go back to church, or how's that situation?
I'll be honest, it's hard still. Not with God. I made up with God. I never cursed him. I never shook my fist at him. I'm the kind of guy that goes silent. I'll just crawl under the shade. I'll just crawl under the desk. As opposed to, this is unfair and I did this and you should have done. It's just not me. I don't, you, maybe that would be you. And I'm not even judging somebody who does that. It's just not me. I wasn't, so I crawled under the desk. And during the worst times, it was hard to even open a Bible because a flood of memories would come back. I was a pastor, right? I was the guy up there teaching all this great stuff, and now I feel like I'm on the other end, right? I can't even open a Bible because of all the memories that come flooding. I can't even pray hardly, hardly. Can't even walk into a church. Because I just feel like I'd feel patronized too. I just feel like, seriously, you're gonna say that? Really, you're gonna say that, Mr. Preacher? You're gonna be that sure that that person is gonna pray and their cancer is gonna go away? Seriously? Come on, man. Have at least a little levity. Have at least a little humility in your preaching, Mr. Preacher. And again, I don't want to be that guy that judges everybody. Okay, I don't want to judge the preacher. Preacher can say what the preacher wants to say, but I couldn't hear it anymore. I just couldn't. So where am I today? I mean, I'm great with God. I read my Bible. I write a lot about what I think. And Lucas and I, in the last half of his incarceration, we read C.S. Lewis. We wrote a great book, read a great book on evolution and God and how they can be compatible, how science doesn't necessarily negate God. You don't have to bury your head in the sand scientifically and logically to be a Christian. And that's always kind of been my jam, but it was Lucas's hurdle, and he had to get over this. So we read this great book. Great book. Anyway, so Lucas kind of learning and really coming to God. And for me, it was coming back to God in maybe a new way. And I'm not saying that it's perfect. Okay. I'm not saying I'm a model for anybody. I'm not. But I love God. I just love thinking about him. I love reading about him. I love writing about him. I write a fair amount in the book about, my own journey and how I kind of, I had this moment in the Sierra way up in the high of the mountains, about 10,000 feet. It was this great moment. It was a great moment. It's what you dream about. But again, I'm not saying it's some model, but it's, so am I super healthy? I probably not. You could probably diagnose me with all kinds of spiritual disorders.
Me
I don't
too.
know. I don't know what your spiritual, like,
I would say I'm pretty open. I do say that I have a relationship with God, but I am not religious, I would say. I think of God as more of just as love, as just being connectedness, more rather than a singular, man being. But I'm open and I love hearing like other people's thoughts and their views and what they believe. I think it's also interesting. And I like how you said you have to kind of, dive into either science or religion. But I think, two things can be true at once. And
amen. Yeah.
yeah. So I love, digging into both of those.
Yeah. Let me just mention one more thing about it. So for me, the spirituality is not just spirituality. It's Christian spirituality. In other words, it's get, at least to me, the way it's evolving now is yes, it's spirituality, but it takes the Bible into account, tries to put it all together, and also make room for the spirit. I think that sometimes religion, the four walls of religion, almost keep the spirit not out, but at bay, like contained, like controlled. Because we don't want this, we don't want you saying that the spirit told you this or that. It's almost like religion gets afraid of God's spirit, where I think, why? Like, is God just silent and encased within this book? Or is he alive today? To me, he's alive today. And so I'm trying to find out what that looks like. I do listen to my gut, and I think God sometimes speaks to my gut. He just because you feel something doesn't make it true. I get that. But You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be open to God's spirit being able to lean into me today about something. Should I do this or should I do that? And praying about it and kind of just waiting to see what, where your gut goes, where your heart goes. And is that definitively God's spirit? I don't know, but I'm going to kind of lean into it. And I'm going to say, yeah, maybe it is. And I should listen to
100%.
it.
Yeah, and I say I'm very spiritual, but also I pray, and I feel like I don't believe in coincidences also. So, if you're praying, "Oh, God, give me a sign or help me, give me this, blah, blah, blah," and then that thing happens, it's kind of like, "Oh, okay, maybe I am being heard."
Yes.
Yeah, so I love that. What do you think, what kind of freedom have you gained by reconnecting with God outside of the walls of religion? Or like what's different about it?
I, first of all, I absolutely love that question.
Thank you.
Love that question. I can read the Bible now without horse blinders on, without, okay, I'm in this church and I've got these certain doctrines and these beliefs and, and just as somebody that was on that side and yet now still reads the Bible, it's this freeing, beautiful, you use the word freedom. I love that word. It's freeing to just be able to read it and not feel like it's got to fit into something. And I could get into specifics, and I, maybe another time. But that is one of the biggest things. And I think secondly, what I just mentioned, that is this freedom that I now have that God's spirit can do whatever the heck God's spirit wants to do. In other words, it doesn't have to fit in my spiritual paradigm or religious paradigm. I can be open. And I realize that you can be so open-minded that your brain falls out. I get it. Totally get it. That's not me. I'm trying not to, that to not to be me, I don't want to limit God. I don't want to have this preconceived place where he can work and another place where he's not going to work. I'm sorry. That just feels very constraining and limiting. So to have now a greater openness and this greater that the field is bigger. I don't know. It just feels pretty awesome to me. I mean, even I was in the mountains last weekend, and I was doing this hike, and I don't know. You know how it is when you get really high and you're above tree line, and all these cool things start happening. It's
You
pretty
feel like you're in a
cool,
movie.
and I'm very lucky. I get up to the mountains quite a bit, but and so I'm very lucky. But when you come to these insights, and I was hiking down, it was I don't know maybe an hour and a half down. And I just, my mind was so on fire with just the way the universe was made and how, why would God even create matter out of no matter? You know what I mean? All these really crazy thoughts that I know, maybe
No, I
others
love
have
all
them.
that stuff.
Do you? Okay. So, this idea of a non-material being, if you think about God, it's completely, so there's no gravity, there's no matter, there's no energy. There's energy. But there's no time, even time. I mean, come on.
Time's man-made.
Timelessness is very difficult but beautiful concept to think about. So think about that entity creating what you and I live in, matter, gravity, right? It like why? So I'm sitting here having this just thought experiment that is so fun and so enlivening and so worshipful and so, I don't know, just magnificent. Like in the religious world, I just didn't have those, didn't have any of those. So now to have those kind of thoughts, to write about it, to can I digress for just a second?
Yes,
So I
please.
met this young kid, is 20, I don't know how old you are,
I'm
this
25.
early 25. He was 25, Berkeley graduate, young kid. We're right at the trailhead of a mountain called Olancha. And it was just the two of us. It's a very remote spot. And he is reading Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov, very dense book. So he's got all these spiritual questions. And I'm this guy that used to be a pastor and is now writing this new book, right? So we get this connection. I thought it would never happen, never go anywhere. This is 2 years ago. He writes me this letter just this week asking about God, and you know, what do you think it does faith and reason go together? And I'm wrestling with these things. So I started this pen pal thing with this kid your age, sorry, this young person your age, and he just has these great questions about God. And it's these kind of things that I don't know is so fun and fascinating to wrestle with and to think about. I forgot what your question was even, but you know, this is the stuff I'm enjoying right now.
Yeah, no, I love that too. And like you said, out hiking and you're just having all these, you feel like you're in a movie, whatever.
Exactly.
For me, it's like if like I think God is just pure love, and you said God is, exists in the realm of nothing, which is where everything can be created. So to me, it's like, what is it to be of love if you can't experience love? And so God is in nature, God is in the wind, everything interacting together is God to me. And I think it's so fun to have those conversations with people who think other things, as long as they're not like, oh, well, you're wrong and you're whatever, you're a hippie. So
Yeah,
I
no,
love that.
I do too, and I love hearing what you're saying, and I think it is you know, one of the things I think is most important is humility. I think it's the driver. In churches, I don't see a lot of it. I see a lot of religious arrogance. But also on the other side, people that gain an opinion and then just set it in concrete. I don't know. I think it's a little arrogant to do
I
it.
agree.
I In me, I want to stay humble. I'm not saying I'm right. I just want to stay humble. I'm 63. I may have 20, 30 years left. I still want to stay humble and to be malleable, to be convincible, to just be open-minded to what the ways that God is going to work, the things that I read about God, the texts from people that are smarter than me, right? And I think the Bible's one of the best texts out there, but it's not the only text that has wisdom. And I think a lot of texts do. And I think it's important that we, above all, even in our relationships and just how we live, even with ourselves, that we stay humble and that we not solidify and things and get so rigid that I don't know, we just become just unopen. And when I think we stop growing when we become that way.
I agree. You are like so set in your ways, and then you won't even listen or even consider anything else.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people trying to find God or trying to better understand their relationship or how they view God, whether that's religious or not?
I would say, to me, it comes down to the thing I just mentioned is kind of the umbrella, the humility, is try to be humble. It's hard for us to be humble. It's hard in relationships. Someone disses you, right? And you just want to say, look, you're an asshole. I'm going to be an asshole. You want to raise it? I'll be a more of it, right? That's just human nature. It's hard to be humble. So humility is the umbrella. And then I would say, ask, seek, and knock. Ask God. Seek the texts and then knock on people's door and see what they think. To me, if you do those three things, ask, seek, knock, I mean, it's gonna reveal what's out there for you. And then what you do with that's up to you. I could tell you what you should do with it. You don't care. You're not gonna listen to that. I'll tell you maybe what that has resulted in me. I'm telling you right now, right? My asking, seeking, and knocking has resulted in what you just heard. It's not set in stone. It's the 63-year-old Ken. That's going to be different at 64. But to me, asking, seeking, and knocking with humility, that's it. To me, that's if you do that with God, which to me is the greatest thing in your life, it will affect your relationships. It will affect your own psyche. It'll affect your own mental health. To me, it'll affect everything. And that's why I think it's paramount. If you ask, seek, and knock with humility, I don't know. That to me, that's it. That's the answer.
Okay, I love that. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add to the conversation?
Well, I would you say that your audience, I've listened to your stuff and I love you and I
Oh,
love this
thank you. I love you
podcast.
too. I
Would you, is your audience your comparable age? Is it just all over the place? Is it?
would say 20 to 35.
Yeah. Well, can I close with one thing?
Yes, of course.
What did I learn about being a parent? You know, and again, I if somebody could look at me as a parent, could just say, "Man, you screwed up. Why would I listen to one word you said?" So I get
No, I don't think
that.
that.
But in some ways, those of us that have been hit the hardest, maybe we have a little more wisdom than maybe someone that haven't. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. What's the one thing I learned? The one thing I learned was that I should follow my gut.
Your
That's what I
intuition,
learned, my
yes.
intuition. Now,
Okay.
when you're parenting with another woman, you got to follow your collective gut.
Yeah.
Should you educate your gut with podcasts? Yes, I did that. Should you educate it with books? Sure. Should you ask, seek, and knock so that you have a smarter gut? Sure. But where I blew it with my sons, and when in high school, my eldest was around sophomore, junior year, when things tipped and they went from us being a solid family to us being a family that experienced almost 15 years of challenges, was when I didn't listen to my gut. I gave into the pressure from my senior pastor. I gave into the pressure I felt from other parents in the church. I just didn't do what I believed I should do. I had parented really trying to listen to my sons, trying to not be the asshole parent, trying to, to listen. And I had a really, I think, pretty incredible relationship with all three of them. But then, Tiona, I did blow it. I did listen to others and violate my gut. And there was actually a tipping point I talk about in my book where it just all blew up. So I think in parenting, your gut is super important. But I even think in your own life, relationships, decisions that you have to make, getting advice and inputs all important. But I don't know. I think for you have your own personality. You have your own history that's made you the person that you are. And only you know that. Like only you can filter all that stuff through your brain into your heart to say, this person's right for me, or that relationship is just not serving me, or whatever it is, right? Whatever decision you make, I think you have to learn to quiet the noise, educate your gut, and then finally listen to your gut, and it will guide you well.
I love that. That kind of brings the whole conversation full circle too, with trusting your intuition. And your intuition is kind of a connection to the divine, to God, you could say. So trusting yourself and knowing you can handle whatever comes your way, I love that. Thank you so much for coming on, Ken. This was so fun. I had a great time.
Awesome. I did too, and I love what you're doing. And you're absolutely welcome. Thank you for asking great questions.
Thank you so much. You guys, I will have Ken's book and all of his social media, everything else linked down below. And Ken, if you would like to repeat after me, we will say our affirmations now. I am strong.
I am strong.
I am kind.
I am very kind.
I am loved.
I am love.
And I send love.
And I send love.
Thank you. Sending
Thank
love.
you, Tiana.